0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon. You are very welcome to Liveline. Katie Hannan with you until three today. And I'm going to go straight away to Leanne. Leanne, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
Leanne, you got in touch with us with, I suppose, what we'd call a cautionary tale. You want to warn people of the risks that you are taking on if you are considering travelling abroad for a medical procedure.
Yes, I am indeed.
Okay, take us back. You had surgery in Turkey last October, was it?
Yes, the 26th of October.
Okay, so explain to people, what surgery did you travel for?
I went for the gastric sleeve surgery.
And maybe just explain to people what that is, Leanne.
The gastric sleeve surgery is where they take 80% of your stomach and you're left with 20%.
Right, so you had an issue with your weight?
Yes. Yes, and I was very overweight.
Right. And, because, I mean, taking away 80% of your stomach is, it's a very, very big operation. That's a massive surgical procedure. So you must have been, I mean, you must have put a lot of thought into that before you decided to go ahead with it, did you?
Yes, indeed. Months and months I was thinking about it because I tried every diet. So I thought I'm sun, moon and stars to lose weight. I was losing weight and then I was putting back up weight and I thought it was just my only option to do was do the surgery because I did see people that had got it done and had lost a lot of weight and looking fabulous. So I said,
but
okay.
What were you concerned about health-wise? At the weight you were. Can I ask you just roughly, you don't need to give me chapter and verse, but what kind of weight bracket would you have been in at that stage?
Before I went, I was 16 stone, 10 pounds.
Okay, so overweight, obviously, but wouldn't have been at the high end of people who maybe would be recommended for this surgery?
No. Well, it would in a way because of... My health issues, I was on the verge of getting diabetes.
All right. And this was a worry for you, was it?
Sorry?
This was a worry for you.
Of course, 100% it was a worry for me, 100%.
And, okay, so you're trying to think of your options. Did you look into your options at home first?
Yes, I tried Slimming World. I tried other various diets myself, going for walking the whole time. I did lose weight, but with the COVID and lockdown, my weight just went back up, went back into my old eating habits, like getting Chinese, like eating crisps, like just snacks. And I didn't realise how much I was eating, and I was constantly eating.
Sure, we all went down that road to some degree, Leanne.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will be familiar with that or will relate to that. But anyway, you found yourself last year thinking about surgery.
Yes, I actually booked it the 1st of March last year.
And did you look into options for surgery at home?
I did indeed, but the price of it was just, no, I could not afford it. It was like nearly, it was gone up to about 14,000 an hour or something to get it done here. And I just didn't have that kind of money to be paying for weight loss surgery, especially when I'm only working part-time, so I wouldn't have the opportunity. If I saved, I'd probably 5 years down the line, yes, but I just wanted it done.
Yeah, God, it's a lot of money, all right. And I presume that's if you go privately, obviously, but I presume there's waiting lists if you want to do this through the HSE.
I believe there's about a 10-year waiting list now for this.
Right.
With the HSE, yeah, that's what I believe.
And did a doctor recommend that you do it?
Well, I went to my GP and I just said to my GP, I had it booked and everything. And I just said to my GP, look, I'm after booking it. It's all booked and I'm going. And he just said, look, don't worry. I'll be there for you when you come home. you know, I'll give you the, I'll look after you. My GP is fantastic now, I must say.
But as you say, and, you presented him with a fait accompli. You'd already booked.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where did you find out about this turkey, the place you went to in Turkey?
It was all more hearsay. And then on Facebook, you know, the hospital kept popping up on the ads. And like, if I went onto Twitter, it was coming up. It's on Instagram. And I was going, okay. And then I was looking through all the photographs and you see before and after and you're like, oh, wow, this is amazing. They're saying this is only 6 months, this is only 7 months. And you're looking and going, I wish that was me now. And I got depression about my weight and I didn't feel good in myself. And I was saying, look, this is it, I'm going. This is what changed my mind.
And you didn't go alone, did you?
No, four of us went over.
And all of you with the same, getting exactly the same surgery?
Yes, yes.
And can I ask you, like, when you were on the way there, were you perfectly happy with what you were doing? Like, did you have any qualms about it?
No. I believed I was going over there to get the surgery done, and that was it. It was, I was, like, excited, going. I was nervous and excited. I was nervous of the, because it's a different country. And I was nervous of the, didn't know what to expect when I go over there or anything. But I was also excited because I knew that I was going to lose weight.
And of course, as you say, you had three friends with you.
Yes.
So that must have been like a girl trip. You know, it's like any girly holiday, there would have been, you know, crack
yes.
and...
Yeah, we'd be great laughing over and having the crack on over and the thing saying, like, I called us the bikini buddies. That was our nickname for us, for the four of us, that we can go over. And I said, this time next year, we'll have our bikini buddies.
And was it expensive, can I ask you, Leanne?
Well, the surgery, because I was able to haggle with the lady that deals, the coordinator that deals with the surgery. And I got it for 2,400 each.
Oh, because you had a job lot, basically.
Well, because there was a group of us going over.
Yeah.
She gave us, yeah.
You got a group discount.
Yes.
Okay, so 2,400 each. And did that include the trip or was that extra?
No, that was separate. We had to pay for our own flights after that then, which was 400 return.
Okay. So 3,000 and you're covered, basically, for your trip. Okay, so you're on the plane, you go over there. What's it like when you get there?
When we got to the hospital, we had no interpreter, which I believe they told us that we would have. And so we were told, they were speaking Turkish to us, and I was saying, sorry, we're English, you know, English speaking. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know what I was saying. So I had to use Google Translate to them, to show them that what we were saying, like, and that we had booked in and whatever. So they gave us a load of sheets to sign. But we didn't know what we were signing because we'd no interpreter with us to read it out to us.
And, like, how much of a kind of a wraparound service do you get? Was there somebody there at the airport to pick you up? How did you make your way to this clinic?
No, there's a guy there with a plaque saying, with holding with the name of the hospital. So they, now in fairness, the coordinator gave us grace. Details told, gave us a picture and everything of where he'll stand and gave us details on how to get to him from when you land in the airport house, what way to walk up and what door to exit and everything, which was brilliant that way.
Okay, but as you say, there was a bit of a lost in translation issue once you got to the clinic.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, so and were you getting nervous at that point?
Yes, because I was saying, how are we going to get through this? Like, because we're English speaking, we don't know Turkish. They're not English speaking. But when we got to the wards, they have some English. So it was okay when we got off to our rooms that I could use the Google Translate to the nurses, and they were using their Google Translate back to us, so we could understand each other.
Right. And tell me, was there much like tests done on you and your friends to establish that you were good candidates for this surgery?
Yes, we arrived on the Sunday, and on the Monday, they done Sunday night they had done blood tests on us, and then the Monday you got your heart checked, you got ultrasound done in your stomach, you got the camera down to your stomach to check. They done your lung examination. They done X-rays of everything. And you actually meet a psychologist as well to see are you a good candidate for it.
So did it feel very professional and everything was being done properly, to your mind?
Yes.
Okay, so that was, so you arrived on at the weekend, yes?
We arrived on Sunday night, yeah.
You did the tests on the Monday?
Monday, yeah.
And when did the surgery happen then?
For the three girls, happened Monday evening, and for me it was Tuesday morning.
Right. Why did you go a different day, do you know?
It's because they were fully booked for the Monday and they had only three places left for the Monday. So I had said to the girls, look, you go ahead and I'll wait for tomorrow morning.
Okay. So how did the actual surgery go then?
The surgery itself, I woke up Tuesday morning and I just got this gut feeling and I was like, I don't want this done. And they were like, no, everything is okay. And I said, no, I don't want this done. I don't want this done. So the nurse left the room and came back and gave me a sedative, basically, to relax me. And they just wheeled me down to theatre. And they do the camera down. They done the camera on me then, down to my stomach for that morning. And then they just done my surgery and brought me back to the ward. But what alarmed me was when they brought me back up, usually they take off your gown and put you back into your nightwear. They took my gown off and put me back into another gown. And I was very alarmed by that. I was like, why are they putting another gown back? And she was like, oh, it's okay, it's okay. And that's normal. And I said, well, why does everyone else get back put back into their pyjamas where I was put back into a gown? And she was like, no, everything is fine, everything is fine. So during the week, I had pain.
At that stage, though, were you kind of saying, why did you take me down? I was saying I didn't want this to happen. I mean, were you making that case? Or at that stage, were you just happy that they had gone ahead and done it?
I was just happy that I woke up, basically. But I just had this feeling over. I just didn't know that morning when I woke up, I just had this feeling over. I didn't want to get this done. And it's because when it was done, I was just feeling pain. I wasn't feeling myself, so I was like, okay, look, it's done now, there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, so that was, we're now on Tuesday evening, yeah?
Yes.
And how are you?
I was feeling a lot of pain and they were just giving me paracetamol through the drip. And I said to the doctor came every single day to us, but sometimes he'd pop into us twice. And I was like, geez, this is great service, because I didn't know what was going on. Like, and so the doctor was like, everything is okay, everything is okay. And I was like, okay, that's good. My blood pressure was normal. And so they were telling me, and my temperature, they were telling me was okay. So they were saying, no, everything is fine, everything is fine. So I was going, but I don't know, my drain, you're left with a drain in your stomach. But my drain wasn't taken out until the Friday. We were flying home 3 o'clock. We were leaving the hospital 3 o'clock Saturday morning. So, but my drain wasn't taken out until lunchtime Friday. And usually the drain is removed 2 days. So I was like, why is my drain being left in an extra day? That was alarming me as well. And if you ask for painkillers over there, like you're waiting ages for them. Like it could take 2-3 hours before you get anything.
And you were also just generally very unwell, though, at that point, were you?
Yeah, yeah. But I just thought it's because of getting the gastric sleeve done.
Was there vomiting involved here?
Yes, after the surgery on the Tuesday, I was vomiting all day, and Wednesday I was vomiting.
And they were telling you this was normal?
Yeah, and I was vomiting up blood. And they were saying, it's okay, that can happen after the surgery. So on the Friday, they took out my drain and then the blood just started pouring out of me. And I called the nurse and the nurse came in and just started to put pressure on it. And said, that's okay, that's okay. And she just put a bandage on it, and she said, it's fine. So I was like, but that shouldn't have happened. And they were like, no, that's okay, that's okay. So we flew home on the Saturday morning, but I felt very cold.
Oh, sorry, can I just ask you, your friends, the other three friends that were with you, how were they getting on at this point?
They were flying it. They were getting on fantastic. Absolutely, walking around the place, and brilliant, where I was thrown down in bed.
Right, okay. So you're on the flight home, they're all grand.
Yeah, and I felt very cold. I was shivering with the cold, and they were like, Leanne, we're not one of us are cold. That we actually find it very warm. And I was freed. I had my own hoodie on, and two of the other girls gave me theirs, and the other girl gave me her one to put over my legs. I was freezing cold. And I just didn't feel right. I was cranky, and I was just on, I just thought it from being tired. And then coming down on the bus, I would start to sleepy. I got home on the Saturday. I felt okay. When I got to bed, I felt okay. Sunday, I was okay. Monday, I was fine. So I felt fine. And come Tuesday morning, I went to stand up to go to the toilet, and I collapsed.
And were you on your own?
My partner was out in the shed. And I felt fine that morning. We woke up, we had actually booked a trip away to Spain for the end of November to go for a few days. And teacher said, do you need anything before I go out to the shed? And I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm just staying in bed now, because I was back to work the following day. And I said, no, I'm just going to have a bed day now and watch Netflix. He said, sure, look, if you need anything, give me a shout. And I said, grand. So off he went anyway to the shed, and I just felt that I had to go to the toilet. So when I stood up to go, I collapsed. And when I woke up, when I went to stand up again, I felt very dizzy. So I just laid back down in the bed. So when I went, I had to crawl on my hands and knees into the toilet to go. And then I came back into bed. So I felt okay again. So I wanted to have a shower. So when I stood up to have a shower, I collapsed again. So when I woke up, I rang my sister. I called my partner, but he was out in the shed, so he didn't hear me. So I rang my sister. My sister had just finished work, so I just said to her, I think I'm dehydrated. Would you mind calling over to me? So she said, not at all. She'd be over soon. So she came within 10 minutes. She was here. And when she saw me on the bed, she ran down and got my partner. When he came up, he just said, ring an ambulance for her now. They said I was very grey, a greyish colour.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into the ambulance, they took my blood sugars, which they were 16, and they asked me, was I diabetic? And I said, no. And they said, that's not good. You're not diabetic, and your blood sugars are 16. My heart rate went up to 130, and my blood pressure was dropping. So when I got into the hospital, they rushed me straight to resus, and the amazing, amazing team in there. And I went to the University Hospital in Limerick,
mm-hmm.
and rushed straight to resus. And when I got into resus, my blood pressure had dropped to 48 over 27, so I was obviously critical then. So they rang my partner to get out of the hospital. Obviously, in my thoughtfulness was to say goodbye to me, because when he came in, he was quite upset. And he was like, he didn't know what to say to me, because he'd literally minutes to get out to the hospital, and he was only in with me literally for 2 minutes to say goodbye, and I was rushed to the theatre because they had done a CAT scan on me, mm-hmm. while they were waiting for him to come, and discovered that my spleen had been cut and I'd internal bleeding, and I'd lost most of my blood, nearly all of it basically, and all my blood had concealed in my stomach, which led to sepsis, and my body had gone into sepsis shock.
God, you must have been very sick at that stage then. Like, you must have felt very sick yourself.
Yes, I had a lot of pain, and they couldn't give me any pain relief in the hospital because they said even a paracetamol would kill me if I took it. So I was rushed straight to theatre, and they had to remove my spleen. They couldn't save it because it was cut. It was just a big cut in it, like, so they said, sorry, we couldn't take your spleen, we had to remove it. And I had to get 11 pints of blood because every time, or in fairness, when I got into resus, they started blood straight away because my heart rate was up to 130 at that stage. And
Leanne, were you aware at how gravely ill you were at that point?
No. I just thought that I was dehydrated. I was not aware. I felt fine. I didn't know that I was dying. I didn't know that.
Was that said to you at that time, or did you get that sense before you were rushed to theatre?
It was said that I had to get to theatre ASAP because I had a bleeding spleen, and that was it. They hadn't said to me that it wasn't looking good, but they did say to my partner.
What were they told?
They were told that I had to go for emergency operation straight away to get my spleen removed because I had been nicked, and if I don't get it done now, that I could die.
Wow. And you have children, Leanne?
I have 3 children, yes.
And were they kept out of the picture while this was all happening?
Yes, they were indeed. Because I had said, don't tell them anything. Because they just thought I was just in hospital with an infection. They didn't know anything that how sick I was. And then because of COVID, they couldn't come in to visit me. So, which in a way I was glad because it was a good excuse for them to give them that they couldn't come in to see me. Because, to be honest, I wasn't looking good.
Yeah, you were able to protect them from that.
Yes.
And the surgery in UHL was obviously successful in that they turned you around. You're able to talk to us now.
Yes.
Did you get any sense from them that they weren't too impressed with the fact that you had, you know, taken yourself to Turkey for this surgery and, you know, the situation you found yourself in?
No. I must admit the care and attention they gave me was second to none. They were absolutely amazing. From the time I went into hospital to the time I left that hospital, they were exceptionally, exceptionally fantastic to me. I couldn't thank them enough the way I was treated. And because I was on a special diet, they went out of their way to get me what I could have. And they were just absolutely amazing, from the nursing staff to the doctors to the care assistants to the attendants, their cleaning staff. Absolutely every single one of them, I have to say, were amazing to me. I was in ward. I was in ICU for the first day. On the Tuesday, I was in ICU, and I left ICU Wednesday evening, and I went to ward 1D. Mm-hmm. And they were absolutely amazing to me, I have to say.
And do you think they see much of this? I mean, are you aware of, as you say, you had 3 of your own friends doing it at the same time as you? Are you aware of is there many people travelling for this surgery?
There's loads. Absolutely hundreds going over every second day, going over for the surgery, but they're not being told the complications that can occur, because there's a group chat as well on WhatsApp that you're assigned to, and anyone that puts up a comment that a bad comment about the hospital over there is deleted, and they're deleted off the group.
Right, but this is how you know there are so many people there, because there is this group chat.
Yeah.
And are you sure about that we're talking about hundreds of people, yeah?
Oh, I'm telling you, it's plane fulls going over for all different procedures. Plane fulls every day.
And, I mean, at the end of the day, how are you now, Leanne? That was last October, right?
Yes, I got my spleen removed the 2nd of November. And now I'm on antibiotics for the rest of my life. I'm on penicillin twice a day, one in the morning, one at night. My energy levels, one day I'm fine, another day I'm not fine. I can't stand for long because I get weak. I get tired very easily now. I wouldn't recommend to have the gastric sleeve surgery to anybody in a way, because it can affect your mental health.
In what way?
Head hunger. you've head hunger, and like you get up this big plate of dinner, and you have two or three spoonfuls, and you're stuffed, but your head is telling you you're very hungry, and they tell you you can't drink alcohol. Not that there is a problem with not drinking alcohol or drinking alcohol. I'm just saying that they tell you you can't drink alcohol for 6 months, and it changes your whole life. It changes your social life. Like, you're not inclined to go out, because you say to yourself, sure, I can't go out for a meal. I can't go for a few drinks because you're not allowed to drink alcohol. Or, okay, not everyone drinks alcohol. You can't even go out and have water, because if you drink too much, it will make you sick and you vomit.
And were you aware of all of this before you signed up for the surgery, though?
No, nothing. Nothing like that. I was just told that it's the best thing ever and to go and get it done.
And in terms of your friends that had the surgery, would they recommend it? You know, because they obviously didn't have the trauma around it that you had.
In a way, they would, but in a way, no. In another way, no. Like the eating part of it, and it's like I used to eat fish, and now certain fish I can't eat because it makes me sick.
Right.
And like it changes your whole outlook in life as well. Like in a way that certain foods that I used to love before can't eat it. Used to eat tuna a lot for my lunch. I've eaten tuna twice. I thought the first time I've eaten it, maybe it was probably too heavy in my stomach. And I tried it again. Same thing, vomiting after it. It's just awful. I've lived on crackers for about 2 months.
And can you sustain yourself like that? I'm trying to imagine what it would be like to have just, you know, 20% of your stomach still intact.
Yes. Tiny, tiny stomach you have. Now, you can stretch it if you drink. They say it can be stretched. Not to drink fizzy drinks, because the fizzy drinks will stretch your stomach. Mm-hmm. So I have been drinking fizzy drinks, to be quite honest, because I want to stretch my stomach a bit to be able to eat a bit more. I have lost 6 stone, 3 pounds, but I've lost it very fast because of being so sick. Not because of the gastric sleeve and eating less. It's because I was so sick.
So you've lost, how much did you say?
6 stone, 3 pounds.
Okay, so you physically are transformed then, if you were, you know.
Yes, a lot of people don't recognise me.
But do you actually regret it?
100%. 100%. I'd recommend anyone. If Slimming World isn't working for them, if Weight Watchers isn't working for them, if their own diet isn't working for them, I'd advise them to go and see a dietitian.
Yeah, but I suppose...
Because it does... It might take them longer to lose the weight, but they're doing it more healthier. And they'll have organs left, basically. You know, they'd be able to go out for their meals and enjoy it. And like myself, my partner can't go for a meal. All I can eat is a starter, and I'm stuffed. And he said, I hate sitting down eating a big dinner, and you're sitting down eating a starter. You know, he said, it doesn't look right. It's like if I won't allow you eat, you know. And I was going, look, I know, I understand. Now we just have dinner at home, just to do for. But other than that, it's really, really awful that you can wake up one morning and feel okay, and the next morning you actually just want to get sick and be sick for the whole day.
Yeah, I wonder how much of your issues as well, Leanne, is like the trauma around that, well, what was obviously a near-death experience for you. I mean, it's very hard to come back from that as well.
Extremely, yeah. Like, In fairness, my boss has been extremely, extremely fantastic to me. He's before I wanted to come back to work in February, and he advised me to see their doctor before I went back, and their doctor recommended that I take at least 6 months off to recover, because I was critically ill, and he just advised to take 6 months out and see how I am after that. But now I have back pain. I have because I say I lost the weight so drastically, and because I was so heavy that my back, I had back problems as well. And but now I still have back problems because basically probably I was in bed for so much as well, that over being sick. And I'm just going to have to go back walking and exercising a bit, because I wouldn't be able to do an hour in the gym now, to be fair. Like, I wouldn't be able to handle that because I wouldn't have the energy for it.
Yeah. And Leanne, I know, like, to go back to the start of this again, you got in touch with us because you just wanted people to be aware of the risks that you weren't aware of when you went down this road, when you decided to go abroad.
Yes. Yes, you're never told, never, ever, ever told about the risks, ever. I asked the hospital about my spleen, and they told me it's because of the blood thinners that I was on, made my spleen bleed. And I said, how can the blood thinners make my spleen bleed? So I was just going, okay, this is weird, like, because I've never in my life heard of anyone having, like, I know a lot of people on blood thinners, like warfarin and that, and their spleen didn't bleed. But it's when I mess up with my surgeon, done a 6-week checkup, and I'd asked him, and he said it was cut. My spleen was cut.
It was nicked. It was nicked accidentally during the surgery. That's what that's what your surgeon here has told you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, look, I wish you the very best, Leanne, and I hope you continue
so
to improve. And many thanks for getting in touch and sharing your very personal story there with us. And hopefully it is a warning goes out to people. Just be careful what you sign up for.
Yes.
Thanks, Leanne. Thank you.
And that's the reason why I did get in touch, to warn people, please just see a dietitian before you go anywhere. I'm just begging people, because I nearly lost my life. My kids nearly lost their mom. Because I wanted to be thin. I wanted to have weight loss. And please just be very, very careful, is exactly what you said, or what you're signing up for and who you're signing up with. Do your research. Do everything. Just, I'm begging you, if it's your last resort, okay, I can't stop people from going, but I just want to put awareness out to people that it's not all what is said to be. It isn't.
Okay.
It is not.
Okay, Leanne. Many thanks. Many thanks for that. Take care.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we were listening to Leanne there with her cautionary tale about her procedure that she had done in Turkey, which went horribly, horribly wrong for her. We got a call from Brendan. Brendan, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Yeah, you went abroad for dental work, was it?
Correct, yeah. I went out last year.
Where'd you go?
I went to Kusasi.
In Turkey as well, yeah.
Yeah.
And what did you get done?
I got 12 implants and 20 crowns.
12 implants and 20 crowns or 28 crowns?
28 crowns.
28 crowns. A massive amount of work, Brendan. What, do you mind me asking, did you pay for that?
Now, I paid 7,000 for the work.
Right.
And now that didn't include flights and accommodation.
Okay, but how long were you out there getting that done?
Well, I went 7 days the first time in March, end of March, or the end of April last year, or I beg your pardon, and I got the teeth, I had 7 red teeth remaining. Mm-hmm. And they pulled out them teeth and they implanted the implants into my jaw the same day.
Right. So, it's not gastric surgery, but it's a fairly big, I would have thought quite high risk. Procedure, is it?
Well, you see, Katie, the problem here is I'd done 6 months research on this before I went out.
Yeah. So were you looking for quotes for that here?
I was looking, within the 6 months, I was researching different clinics, the type of clinic, the quality of the clinic. Of course, the price was important as well.
Right.
But in addition, what I had to research most was the quality of implant and would my body reject them?
Yeah.
So I found that titanium implants are the most popular and 99.9% of the population accept them anyway.
And can I ask you, if you had to get those implants, that particular type of implant here and the crowns you got as well, how much would that have cost you here?
€36,000.
€36,000?
Yes.
And you say you got it done for 7,000 in Turkey?
Yeah. Now, the clinic I linked up with, there was an Irish girl as a patient coordinator who works out there for the clinic.
Okay, so obviously they have a lot of Irish clients.
They have. Now, where I work, the establishment I work in Ireland, five of my work colleagues have went since I returned and got their work done with their teeth, crowns or implants, whatever procedures needed, and they've all come back with the same high-quality work, no side effects, no after effects, no nothing.
And was that incredibly painful, Brendan?
More uncomfortable.
Getting 12 implants is just uncomfortable.
Well, you see, what they done was, I got knocked out for it. I was put under a general anaesthetic.
Yeah.
And when I woke up, they had a proper recovery room with a monitor on me and a nurse sitting beside me when I came around.
Yeah, go on.
No, they gave me painkilling relief and injected into me, and also gave me prescription for a full course of weeks of Augmentine to prevent any infections.
And what was going on with you that you needed all those implants? Were they just...
I spent years overseas with the military. Mm-hmm. And bad dental hygiene in these foreign countries and everything else. And my teeth just went neglected over the years. Mm-hmm. But I had to get an X-ray, a 3D X-ray done in Ireland before I went. And to see, was the density of bone good enough to take implants?
Right.
And when I arrived in the clinic to meet the consultant on a Saturday, they explained to me exactly what had been done, the tour of the clinic, showed me the quality of the treatment rooms, how clean they were. I went home in the morning, I was knocked out, and I woke up with all these implants in.
And you must look gorgeous now, do you, Brendan?
Well, I don't want to be too vain, but my teeth look good, that's all I can say. But yeah. It's all about research. Doing these things, don't get on a plane and go at the first. I spent 6 months liaising with that clinic before I made the decision. I actually liaised with other clinics. And a lot of them throw in free hotels and free this and free that, you know?
Yeah.
But the clinic, I went and said, there are no frills here. You get your own hotel, we'll help you get a hotel. We'll taxi you from the airport and back again. That's okay. But you spend the money and your hotel is your own baby. We're quoting you for teeth only. No dangling carrots here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you felt more confident going with them than with all the research
I did.
And
the girl, Amanda, the girl that works for the clinic, she's from Portlaoise, she was there at my beck and call, picked me up at the hotel for my appointments, waited for me, could not do enough for me.
Okay, so you would highly recommend the particular place you went to because you, as you say...
Absolutely.
You were sure, but you'd be nervous. You see the pitfalls if you don't do that legwork.
Yeah, and you see, the thing about it was, I did not know anybody before I went to had this done. I went alone. I went blindfolded to this clinic. I didn't know what was going until I saw the clinic. When I walked in there, I said, wow, this is good. This is nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brendan, many thanks for that. I really appreciate you getting in touch with us with that. Vincent, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, you've been listening as well, and you are thinking about travelling for a different procedure again.
Yeah, I don't have any choice, really, to be honest with you. Sorry, Jane, is it? Sorry.
It's Katie.
Sorry, Katie, I beg your pardon, sorry. I just caught the tail end of your previous caller who went to Turkey with issues of a procedure for losing weight, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And I texted your colleague then. Yeah, I'm looking at, I don't really have any option. I'm going and getting an operation for procedure for prostate, enlarged prostate. It's called TURP, T-U-R-P. And there's a waiting time here of over a year, so obviously I can't wait for all the obvious reasons. It's uncomfortable, and I have a catheter fitted, and I'm just not able to wait that length of time. So I've been searching only in recent days possibilities, but it's a minefield, and I'm getting some people that are kind of, you know, hospitals and the like.
Okay, you know what, Vincent, and I beg your pardon, but I might just get you to hang on there for a minute and we'll see if we can get a better line for you, because I want to hear what you're saying, and that line just isn't going to hold up for us, I think. While we're waiting to get Vincent back up again, Carla, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Have you had this procedure, have you, that Leanne was talking about?
No, I haven't actually. I thought that gastric bypass surgery was the only way that I could lose weight, but I've actually managed to lose 13 stone in the last, well, in 14 months, just with a traditional walking weight loss program called Body Slims, and that's been fantastic.
So say that again. You've lost, did you say 13 stone?
13 stone in 14 months, yeah.
You've been losing over a stone a month?
No, just under a stone
just
a month.
Just under a stone a month, sorry, in 14 months, yes.
In 14 months.
That's astonishing, Carla. I mean, in fairness, it must take unbelievable commitment, does it?
Well, to be honest with you, the first thing that I did was fixed my head. 10 years ago, my GP told me when I went to him with binge eating disorder that he said, when you fix the head, the weight will just fall off. I did therapy, which I think is the most important part of it. I fixed my head because my obesity was a symptom of how I was feeling and my negative self-talk. So I decided that I went back to therapy. I did the therapy for food addiction, and then I started a Body Slims program January 2020. And within 14 months, then I lost 13 stone.
And was this something that you, a lifelong issue for you, Carla?
Absolutely. I have been overweight or obese my entire life. I've tried every one of the traditional diet programs, like you name it, I've done it. I've lost 6 stone before, put it back on again, lost another 6 stone, put it back on again, because I never addressed what was going on inside me, you know, with my head. And when I did that, I felt finally committed and ready to do it. And honestly, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it was simple. That's one of the wonderful things about the Body Slims program that I did. But it was gave you a calorie controlled diet, walking 1 hour every single day, and that's it. That's all I had to do. And I just had to do it consistently. I think that's the most important aspect, is to be consistent.
Is every day. You have to get out there every day, and you have to stick with this
day.
With this calorie. And I just the sheer scale of what you have lost in terms of your body weight is...
Yeah, it's actually, I have, I share my story on Instagram and YouTube, and my handle is Half of Carla, because I lost over half my body weight. So I share everything from day one there, how I did it and what I did. And I'm actually currently losing a little bit of weight at the moment because I just had a baby. So,
congratulations.
Getting back on. Thank you very much.
And you don't have any fears now, because as you say, you had a lifelong of losing weight, putting it back on, you know, having this issue. You have no fears that you're going to regain this weight that you've lost now?
Absolutely not. I know now that I've addressed the issues that caused me to become obese, because obesity, I believe, is a symptom of something else that's going on. I was using food as a methodology of escape. It was an addiction, similar to drugs, alcohol. It's an escape, you know, from whatever situation that's going on. And I managed now to address that, to deal with the trauma that I was experiencing. And from that, I was then able to use, as I said, the Body Slims program, which is what I call my roadmap to weight loss. So I followed that, and I was... 13 months later, or 14 months later, I was, you know, went from a size 24, 26 to a size 8 to 10, and I couldn't be any healthier. You know, like my cardio fitness levels, like I was always the obese, the fat friend. You know, I could never shop in a regular store. Like I always had to get a seatbelt extender on a plane. All of that's gone now. I have the sense of freedom, a sense of relief. I basically feel like I unzipped myself and walked out.
And, you know, when you hear Leanne's story there now, that's, as I say, a very bad outcome. But you do hear people you know what, I have Sarah on a line. So, Carly, will you stay with us? Because I have somebody,
of course,
I think,
yeah.
Who has had this surgery. Sarah, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, Sarah, I was just about to say, I know some people will have had the surgery and will have had a good experience, and I think that's
yeah.
You, is it?
That's me, 100%.
Tell me your story then. How did...
Very quickly, I had went about 6 years ago, and I had a gastric band in Belgium. And it wasn't great. It wasn't a great experience. So I've been looking into what they call a revision, where you have your gastric band removed. And it was just extortionate prices here. So I looked into different places abroad, and Turkey kind of was, you know, they had a lot of experience in it, and the information they were giving was great. So I booked in to have a revision done. I had the gastric band removed and I had a bypass done. After they removed the band, then they did the bypass. They recommended the bypass because after the band, you can have scar tissue on your stomach. Mm-hmm. So they don't recommend the sleeve. They do a bypass. So I buried myself in all the research for a bypass and booked it. And it's the best thing I ever did. Really, like, I'm number one champion for it. But people have to do their own research, and I think that's where a lot of the negativity comes as well.
And can you just explain to us now, if you're not familiar with these procedures, yeah. When you say bypass, does it bypass just some of the stomach, or how does it work?
They pretty much make you a new stomach from like, they'll kind of they'll restructure everything in your digestive system, and they'll create a new little pouch for you, and then instead of linking up then and going through your small intestine and your large intestine into the bowel, they'll, what they call, bypass it, and they'll make a shorter escape route, we'll call it. So it doesn't go through all of your digestive system. So yeah. They kind of restructure everything.
It's drastic stuff though, Sarah, when you say it like that.
It is, but the recovery for me with the bypass, compared to the girl that got her surgery an hour after me for the sleeve, I bounced back a lot quicker, just up and about and walking, and the, like, sickness and stuff. I know people recover at their own rate and recover differently, but to me it was the best decision that I made. Plus there's a lot of people that have the sleeve done and then they get a revision to a bypass as well, because the bypass, it is kind of a more drastic surgery at the time. Mm-hmm. But it has better and more long-term results. There are more restrictions and stuff as well.
You're basically half the weight you were before you had this.
Oh, yeah.
So you were what?
At my heaviest, I was just about 25 stone.
And today?
I'm around 12 stone 8.
Well, again, it's astonishing. But I mean, one of Leanne's issues was that it was affecting her social life in ways that she hadn't anticipated.
That's not a physical, like, you have to understand, like, you can't, and this is, this is not a dig at that girl, really it's not, but it's very common, like, anyone I've spoken to, you'll always hear a negative first. So somebody asked me, Jesus, how'd you lose all the weight? And I'm very honest and open, I've never hidden the fact that I've had surgery, and I'll tell people I had surgery, and the first thing they say is, oh, I know such and such had that done, and oh, she was so sick, and she can't do this and can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, but you can't. You can't expect to go and have this surgery and then be shocked at the fact that you can't eat the same amount that you used to be able to, or you can't eat the same things that you used to be able to. Like, it's not a magic cure for obesity. Obesity is not just physically eating too much. It's mentally. Like, people, I would have been, food was my obsession, and I consoled myself with food, I rewarded myself with food, everything resolved and revolved around food. Like, food was the answer to everything. Like, if you were sad, you ate. Like, I always used to joke, I'm just going to eat my feelings. Like, and so to not be able to do that anymore, it takes a while to get used to it, and you have to retrain yourself how you think and how you eat. Everything is completely different. It's all
but
new.
When you hear Carla in there just before you came on, Sarah, yeah. I don't know, were you able to hear Carla? And she lost, what did she say, 13 stone in 14 months.
Yeah.
You know, having done counselling and sorted out her head.
Yeah.
And, you know, she didn't go down the surgical route that you went down.
Would people to be able to do it? I have an aunt that did that as well. Like, and she was absolutely amazing and lost 11 stone with, I don't know if it was Slimming World or Weight Watchers before, and I have friends that have done it. But when you're in a vicious circle as well of losing weight and finding more, like, I could have shares in Slimming World at this stage. I went every week. I lost a pound, gained a pound, lost a pound, gained a pound. And it's just soul destroying. And when you lose a lot of weight and then you put it back on, you know, it's very hard. And if you don't have the willpower, and if you do depend on food like a crutch, like I did, like, for every aspect of my life, food was part of it. it was a reward when I did something or something good happened. It was a commiseration or, you know, the loser's prize when something went wrong. Like, you always turn to food. And I think when we have that bad relationship, not everybody has a resource to go and get counselling and stuff like that, or not. A lot of people are too embarrassed to do it, and people won't go to the gym because they're embarrassed of their size. But I have a condition called psoriatic arthritis, and I was literally crushing myself. My body was crushing me, and I was in a life of misery with pain. Like, so something
you had to do something, yeah.
So I had to. I couldn't do the normal person route of go out and exercise or go to the gym, or even I couldn't even go for a walk, like, you know. So when you have that bad relationship with food, and then you have the physical side of it where you live every day in pain, you can't, you know... You can't turn to one or the other, like, you know. So I found it very, very difficult.
And Sarah, how long ago is it since you got the surgery?
January 21.
So you're not that long down the road. So,
no.
Were you, as you say, you bounced back fairly fast from the actual surgery. But yeah. that issue, you say that, like, obviously your relationship with food still was there in your head.
It is. But I did my research and I was kind of aware of what was going to happen and what changes I had to make to work with the tool that I was being given. Mm-hmm. I didn't have, you know, I didn't expect to go under the anaesthetic and wake up skinny and, you know, from the surgery, I was going to wake up skinny and I was going to be a healthier person all around. I had to work on that. I had to do my research. I had to research what the surgery was going to be like. I had to research what it was like afterwards. I joined every group that I could find on Facebook and online. I researched all articles, everything online. I knew the risks that were involved. I knew the changes that I had to make. And I also knew the changes that were going to be made and were going to be out of my control. So you have to make peace with that in your own head. And you have to be prepared to put in the work mentally, not just physically, mentally. You have to do it. You have to do it. Like, you know, it's not a magic fix. It is, you still have to work with it. It is a tool at the end of the day. So people need to realise that before they go booking these surgeries. It's frustrating going out for a meal and wanting, you still see a plate of food and you still think that, you know, you can eat it, and then you get a few bites in, or, you know, you'll eat too quick, or you can't. The biggest thing is you can't drink while you're eating, which I would have been a big kind of drinker while I was eating water or whatever.
Yeah,
that's hard to get your head around.
Sarah, will you hang on, please? I'm being told I have to take a break, and I just need to get this out of the way, but please stay there because it's a very educational conversation, I think, for a lot of us. Okay, we'll take that break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And we're talking about the various journeys people have made to deal with a really, I suppose, in some cases, life-threatening, certainly health-threatening weight issues. Sarah, sorry, I cut you off in mid-flow there, Sarah, before the break. You were saying about how you have to get your head around if you go out, that you can't drink with a meal, or like, can you just say, like, what can you eat now? Like, if you were in a restaurant, what could you manage, or what would you be able to order?
In general, I can kind of eat anything. Like, there's a lot of trial and error, especially in the beginning. So they'll tell you, like, they're very strict. When you first have your surgery, you have 3 weeks of liquid. Excuse me. And then when you're finished your 3 weeks of liquids, you will then have 3 weeks of soft food. So that's like blended food. Like, I'm going to compare it to baby food, but it's not actual baby food. So you have to kind of blend your food. And then, say, on the third week, you'll roughly mash it, and then you go on to soft foods. So you have about 3 months of reintroducing foods back into your diet. And then it can take a few months for your body to adjust to different foods as well. So something that you try to eat maybe 9 or 10 weeks after your surgery could make you sick or give you a sick feeling or not agree with your stomach, but another 4 months down the line, and that could become your favourite food. But now where I am in my journey is I can eat anything except high sugar foods. I kind of tend to stay away from sugar. So chocolate, biscuits, sweets and stuff, which is a good thing as well, because we're not really supposed to be eating those. But, you know, I wouldn't really have dessert. If I go out, my husband would order dessert, I'd take a spoon of his. And once I get a taste of it, I'm fine. I feel like I've had that. But I can.
But you can still go out to restaurants and enjoy a meal.
Still go out to restaurants. You just can't drink anything 30 minutes before your meal. You can't drink while you're eating, and you can't have a drink till 30 minutes after your meal.
Okay. Is that because there's just not enough room in your stomach now for liquid as well as food?
Yeah, and it can cause a condition called dumping syndrome is what they call it, where basically it pushes the food out of your stomach too quickly and it makes you sick.
Okay.
So that's really not a nice feeling.
I asked Carla to hang on there. Carla, are you still there with us?
I am, yes.
When you hear that story now from Sarah, I mean, had you looked into this yourself, you know, having struggled with this for a long time? Yeah.
Yeah, no, like either gastric bypass or gastric sleeve was definitely one of what I thought would be my only options. The reason I wanted to come on, and like something works for everybody, like that worked for Sarah. You know, I'm really grateful and thankful that my journey worked for me, you know, but it has to be, each person has to find what works for them. So I just wanted people to know that it is possible without surgery.
And you're not starving yourself now, Carla?
Oh God, no, I eat probably more than I ever ate before. I eat huge portions of food and I really enjoy them. And my choices of what I want to eat have changed because of the work that I've done on my head.
Right. And yeah, half of Carla, it's a great Instagram handle. Half of Carla, if you want to see what Carla, do you put up like menus and?
Oh, yeah, I share every single day and I have 2 YouTube videos a week. So, yeah, I'm constantly there, but I share everything. And the Body Slims program that I did, if anybody is, you know, the difference between that is that it works on the head as well as the diet and very small exercise part. So, you know, it's different to the traditional, it's true weight loss as opposed to weight maintenance, what Sarah was saying there, you know, about the losing 1 pound and then, you know, gaining a pound. That's kind of happens with a lot of other programs, but this one it's very different.
And is the Body Slims program particularly for people with a lot of weight to lose, or will it work for anyone?
It works for everybody. I'm the biggest loser of Body Slims, but there are people who want to lose 20 pounds or, you know, 10 pounds who are doing it at the moment. You know, it's all ranges of weight loss. But what it really does is it helps to address why we do it. Food is actually only one part of Body Slims. It's really more about the head and why we turn to food and that kind of thing.
Okay, Carla, thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
Really, a really interesting insight into another way around. But I have Geraldine now. Geraldine, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, you had gastric surgery.
I did. I would have suffered with weight problem all my life. I think I have shares in all the different dieting things that were on and fluctuated constantly all my life. And I was very lucky. I attended Loughlinstown and I had my surgery done in Vincent's.
Were you waiting a long time for that, Geraldine?
I was waiting quite a long time, but you know, I have to say it was very good in that it actually, you had a dietitian, you had a physiotherapist, you had a psychologist and you had a doctor. And it really, it set you up for the surgery. And also afterwards, the after service was extremely good. And Dr. Helen Keenahan did it in Vincent's. And it does change your life for a very short while because you do have to adjust. But I am like that last lady. I am able to go to a restaurant with my husband. It was my birthday yesterday. And we went
Happy
out
birthday,
for dinner.
Happy birthday, Geraldine.
Thank you. So we went out for dinner. I had my bottle of Bulmers and, you know, I didn't have a dessert one of the ladies said. My husband ordered a dessert and I took probably 2 spoons out of it. And that satisfies me. But I have lost 13 stone and it has changed my life.
Wow, yeah. And what would you have been before you had got your surgery?
Pardon me?
Where would you have been weight-wise before you got your surgery, Geraldine?
Extremely obese. Extremely.
Right. Okay.
And I would have found it very difficult to... I just survived, I would say, really, to be honest with you. You know, I always came across as a very happy, jolly person. But I suppose deep down, like when you do lose weight and you get more active and you get... Like I go to the gym every morning for 6:30 and I do a class and... But I wouldn't have been able to actually function, really, in some ways, you know?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of health issues as regards, like I had like arthritis, you know, pains in your back, all the rest. And all those have alleviated, you know. But it's a massive change. Like, as that last lady said, you know, you have to learn how to eat again. You learn the things that work. And, you know, you make an odd mistake, but you'll suffer and then you won't do it again.
Okay, Geraldine, many thanks for that. As I say, we're getting a lot of calls in. A lot of people have been down this road. Kira, good afternoon. Kira D.
Hi, how are you?
Kira, you also had the gastric sleeve surgery.
I did. I went to Turkey 7 weeks ago and had it done.
Oh my God, just 7 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So how are you?
I'm 3 stone down and it was actually the best decision I've ever made in my life. If only Ireland offered it over here, I think it'd be just so much more helpful to people, because I just wasn't offered anything and I just took it upon myself. I done research and I booked, and the care I got in Turkey was second to none. I've never received care like it before.
And tell me, Kira, were you, were you just like, as every all our other callers today, like up and down with weight loss programs and all sorts of efforts?
Yes, I've been to everything, Slim World, all different sorts of things. I have kind of some medical issues that contribute to it as well. And I've just tried, my weight has yo-yoed all through my life, really. And this is the best I've ever felt. Like, you've just so much more energy now because you're not eating badness. You're not as overweight. Like, my total mental state is totally different in under 8 weeks.
And did you do a lot of research before you travelled?
Yeah, I did. I looked into the hospital. I picked my own surgeon. I joined the private group for the hospital in Turkey. I spoke to people. I seen what it was, what it does, because the likes of, like what the last caller was saying, people don't realise that, like, how you have to change everything, really. People think you just get it done and you become thin. It's not like that. It is a hard road, but it's so worth it. It's extremely worth it.
And again, like you're in that phase now that our other callers were talking about, that you have to figure out what you can eat, how much of everything.
Yeah.
And you're obviously thriving on this at this stage. This is not something that's traumatizing you.
Not at all. I knew what was ahead of me, and like that, it is a tool. It's to help you along. Like, the first 4 weeks is liquid and then puree, and some people really struggle with that. But I just kept thinking, like, what's ahead? And it just really got me through. And now I am figuring out what I can eat and what I can't eat. And it's actually brilliant.
Had you looked into getting it done here, Kira?
Yes, I did. And it was so much more than what I actually paid to go to Turkey.
How much? Because you were the most recent person that had it done.
Well, I was quoted nearly 17,000. And I went to Turkey for 3,100.
Right, yeah, because
that
is
a massive difference.
Massive, massive difference. Kira,
yeah.
Best of luck with it.
Thanks so much.
And hopefully it'll all work out, and it seems to be working out very well in your case after all your research. And I have another Kira on the other line. Kira, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, Kira, have you gone down this road, or you've looked into it?
No, I had gastric bypass in Ireland privately in 2017. I had been a patient in Loughlinstown in Donal O'Shea's clinic for 2 years, having been on a 5-year waiting list for that clinic. And I'd been put on the waiting list for surgery in Loughlinstown, and it would have been Helen Hennigan had just come on board at the time. But when I realised how long the waiting list was, I decided to go ahead and go a private route. So I actually went, I'm from Dublin, but I went to the Bonsecures in Cork and saw a bariatric surgeon down there. I don't know if I can give his name, but he's done thousands of surgeries anyway. So, but it's not just a straightforward, you can pick up the phone and ring and get it done a couple of days later. Like, there's a whole psychology around it, that you have to meet the psychologist and pass, you know, have a report that you're suitable for the surgery. And then you have a battery of tests, like they check your heart, they do a DENSA scan to check your calcium levels. They do all sorts of, they put a tube down to check that your stomach is suitable and that there's nothing else going on. And then, so it takes about 6 months prep, and then they give you the date for surgery. And,
And
so I'm 5 years out.
And was the the weight loss dramatic then once you have the...
Yeah, I went from 27 stone to just over 13 stone now.
Oh my God. It's very hard to get your head around that. I mean, it's an astonishing physical change, I'm sure.
I was actually saying to your researcher that even though I'd lost the weight before the pandemic hit, most of it, because people hadn't seen me in the office for 2 years, everybody is saying to me, like, God, you're half the person you were. What happened, you know, now that I'm back, you know? So
literally, less than half the person you were.
Yeah.
And can I just, because presumably you have, you know, issues with excess skin then, do you? I mean, I do.
But what I do is I walk at least 5K every day and I do weight, so I'm fairly toned, but I do have loose skin. I debated whether I'd go down the surgery route for that, but that's really expensive, and they'll only, your VHI and others will only pay for a certain amount if it's having an effect on your life. So, I mean, I'm doing the mini marathon, you know, so I can't say that it is, but if it comes to it, I might go down that route. But at the moment, I'm happy enough, you know.
And was it very expensive to get it done privately here, Ciara?
I had very good VHI, so I paid $5,500 and the balance, which at the time would have been, this is 5 years ago, it would have been, I think, $15,500. So I think it was about 10 grand is what the VHI paid for it.
Because you were paying a lot, you were obviously up in the higher end VHI.
I was, but not the top end of the VHI. And but the surgeon was, if you've got a life threatening condition, which I did, I had been to Slimming World, I'd been to Weight Watchers, I'd been to Uni Slim. Like, so from the time I was 15, I'd been battling with this, you know, and I was 45 when I had surgery.
Okay. So that's why you got it under the health insurance. Ciara, I'm told I have to take another break. Many, many thanks for that, and best of luck, and thanks for sharing that with us. But we'll take that break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And I want to bring in Mick now. Mick, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Kate?
Yeah, Mick, you've been in Turkey... Is it twice last year? And you're saying that you actually think they're very safety conscious.
They are very safety conscious, yeah. The first time I went over, they found a reason why they wouldn't do it. So
what were you going over for? For the gastric sleeve?
For the gastric sleeve, yeah.
All right, yeah, go on.
And I went over and they found a reason why they wouldn't do it. So they actually inserted a balloon. Now, the balloon doesn't really work, to be quite honest with you. I had that in for about 7 months, and I went back over because a friend of mine that works in Kusadasi in the hospital, and I went through her, and she was doing it for me, getting it done for me. And when I went over, my blood counts was high for my kidneys, so therefore they wouldn't do it either. So they actually, the worst case scenario was that the balloon was coming out either way, because that was only there for 6 months. But 20 years ago, I got the gastric band done in Brussels. And no one ever told me that I had to get it taken out when it becomes obsolete. And I actually got an infection from it. And that's what spurred things on 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I had an operation, and now I'm left with a hernia. And that's one of the reasons why they wouldn't do it in Turkey.
But you're saying that we shouldn't give the Turkish surgeons or the Turkish clinics a bad rap, because your experience was that they were actually very particular about the health.
Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of all the hospitals that I've been to in Turkey.
Okay, Mick, I'm going to have to let you go because we only have a minute left, and there is one other person I do want to get in, because they want to ask people to be careful of the risks as well. Claire, good afternoon.
Oh, hi, how are you doing?
You're a dentist, Claire?
Yeah, I'm a dentist and an orthodontist. I run a practice in England and have done for the past 20 odd years, so... we've just seen a lot of patients who, you know, they are wanting a quick fix, you know, so we're aware of the turkey teeth, as it were, that people go for quite a lot, you know, to get veneers and stuff. And the problems can, you know, be that sort of, you might not initially have a problem with your teeth, but then years down the line, you can actually have quite serious problems. We saw a lady a couple of weeks ago, and she'd actually had her you know, crowns done in Turkey, I think 5 years ago. But she was then on a Friday night, last thing in the evening, of course. It always happens with quite a severe swelling on her face, but it was down to a dental abscess, and it was basically down to these, you know, crowns that had been placed in Turkey. And she had to go straight down to the accident and emergency department. So it's just really, you know, to kind of let people know that it's much more about the care, the quality, the aftercare. You know, it's really something I feel quite passionate about.
But I suppose people will say, if only we could get some, you know, it's just so expensive to get that kind of work done here.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, people don't understand how expensive it actually is to provide the care in Ireland, because it's not just, all of that money is not going into the dentist's pocket. So the dentist has to pay the staff, they have to pay the overheads, they have to pay for materials, and the lab fees for these things can be really quite expensive. And it's all of those kind of, you know, go towards the price that you're actually getting.
Okay. I'm going to have to stop you, Claire, because we are actually over time. But I appreciate your point. You're basically saying it might be a false economy going for your turkey teeth, even if they look great and you're delighted with them when you come home, there may be problems down the line that people like yourself will end up paying for or sorting out. That's it. That's all we have time for. I want to thank the team. Today was produced by Sean O'Gorman. Stand by now for Ray Darcy.
0818 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.